The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 14th chapter. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of the unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him, for they said, "Not during the festival, or there may be a riot among the people." While he was at Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar full of very costly ointment of nard, and she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger, "Why was this ointment wasted in this way? For this ointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor." And they scolded her. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me, for you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish, but you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly, I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her." Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priest in order to betray him. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray Jesus. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover?" So Jesus sent two of his disciples, saying to them, "Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there." So the disciples set out and went to the city and found everything as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he came in with the 12. And when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be distressed and to say to one another, "Surely not I." He said to them, "It is one of the 12 who is dipping bread in the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to the one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better not for that one not to have been born." While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said, "Take, this is my body." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never drink again of the fruit of a vine until the day when I drink it in the new kingdom of God." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them, "You will all become deserters, for it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even though all become deserters, I will not." Jesus said to him, "Truly I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. But he said vehemently, "Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you." And all of them said the same. This is the gospel of the Lord. As the congregation is seated, I invite my young friends forward for a children's sermon with Miss Leanna, our director of children's ministries.
We're going to sit down here on the floor today. Hey, Leanna, we're going to just sit right down in here. Hey, Jamie. Jacob, do you want to come? Hey, Jacob, do you want to come? You don't have to. Good morning. Come on down here. We don't want to sit in here. Come on down here, Julianne.
I had a cross on, but it fell off.
Your cross fell off? What was special about your cross, Liam?
It was white.
But what's special about it? Do you know what it's made from? Well, it kind of is made from God, but that cross, the cross that all the grown-ups are wearing, are made from these.
What?
Yeah, I know. They're dried palms. Isn't that cool? So let's talk about this morning. What was different about our worship this morning so far? We're not all the way done, but what was different about this morning? The palms are different. That's right.
That was mine.
This one was yours.
Okay.
Okay. What else was different about this morning? Where'd we start?
Outside.
Outside. Do we usually do that?
No.
No, that's different. What was different about this morning? We had Sunday school today, and it seemed a little bit longer because we had lots to do, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah. But I went to my Nana's class because I was the only one there.
Yep.
I was kind of blind, so she just went blind.
Yeah, and you went to help her, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, Mommy, don't leave them alone.
Yeah.
She was like, stop fighting.
And
yep.
Then she was like, I know. So tell me about this. Did we have one choir today or more?
More.
How many choirs did we have today?
Three.
Do we usually have three choirs?
No.
No. We usually don't have palms. We usually don't start outside. We usually don't have three choirs.
We usually don't hear the bells.
We usually don't hear the bells, probably because we're inside, right?
Yeah.
Did we hear more than one set of bells while we were outside? Did you hear? There was bells from down the road. Another church was ringing their bells. Did you hear it? It kind of was while Pastor Paul was talking, so you may have been listening to him. I was listening to the bells. They were pretty sounding, weren't they? Yeah, it was super cool to hear all of those things. We got to see different things. We got to hear different things. We got to feel different things. You could smell your palms while you were waving them. All of those super cool things help us to celebrate what a special day today is. Do you think we could start every worship service like this?
Yes.
You think we could? Yes and no. I think we should say yes. Do you know why?
Because we love Easter,
but we also love Jesus. And it is okay to come into church every Sunday and be like, we're here. We are here and we are so excited. Because the people, when they knew that Jesus was coming into Jerusalem, they were like, he's here. And so they took their coats off and they took their palms and they laid them down on the ground. They took their, Liam doesn't have a coat, but if he had a coat, he could take it off and lay it on the ground. And it made a pathway for Jesus to come in. You want to take your coat off? Do it for us, Julianne. Put it right there. Yep. They laid them down and they put the palms on top and it made it a special, like a special carpet for Jesus to come in. And they were so excited. They wanted his entrance to be super, super cool. And when he was coming in, they were shouting. They were like, he's here. He's here. Hosanna. Hosanna. And they were so excited. And it is okay for you guys to come in every Sunday and be like, hey, Jesus, we're here. We love you and we are so glad. Do you guys want to come in next Sunday and say that?
Yeah.
I challenge you to do it. Liam, I'm looking to you, bud. I want you to come in next Sunday and say, hey, Miss Leanna, I'm here. And I'm so glad. High five on that. Awesome, Liam. Okay, let's pray about that, guys. You ready? Can you help me? No, all right, all right. Dear Jesus.
Dear Jesus.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So much. For giving us
reasons to celebrate.
Help us to remember to shout with excitement. In your name we pray. Amen. Hey, Liam.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Reflecting upon the faith journey that I was privileged to share this past Wednesday evening during our Lenten services, as part of my story talked about the call process that shaped me during my college years, I started to flood back all sorts of memories from college. And as I was talking about struggles, I remember one vividly from my freshman year. It was my first exam season in college, and I was overwhelmed by all of the different tests that I'd have that week. And so the one that lingered, the one that remained, the one that I hadn't studied enough for was my German exam, Dr. Zellner. Yep. So there I found myself preparing for an oral examination that I would have with my TA the next morning, spending all night trying to remember every word and listening again to pronunciation and trying to memorize everything over and over again, hoping that I would get a satisfactory grade. And so I entered the art of what college kids call cramming and spent all night preparing for that exam. Well, as morning was about to arrive, I figured I'm ready and I can get a few hours of sleep before my exam that morning. And as I woke up, I realized my alarm clock hadn't. The volume had been turned completely down, and as I looked at the clock, it was already 12 minutes past the start of the exam. So I grabbed the nearest clothes to me, which was a pair of shorts and a t-shirt I had worn to play Ultimate Frisbee the night before, and as I stank my way out of the dorm room, running down the stairs across campus as fast as I could, arrived there to the examination room, begging my TA to let me take the exam. It wasn't pretty, but I passed. But I learned the dangers of cramming that night, my first semester in college. Cramming, trying to fit too much in, trying to do it all at the last moment, trying to just make it work where it seems like it shouldn't, is not something that we simply do a few times in our educational experience. Rather, throughout life, we are guilty of trying to cram it all in. How many of you have a schedule full of events in your life and you wonder how you are going to get them all done? To take care of your family needs, your work responsibilities, the commitments you've made here at church, and everything else you have going on in your life, and you just try to cram it all in. You can download apps specifically for help on how to do that, and those things that you don't have time to now, send somebody else to do your grocery shopping or your dry cleaning or whatever it might be, for we live in a world where we have to accomplish so much and so fast that we try to cram it all in. But that's hard to do. It's hard to do anything well when you're already thinking about the next thing. It's hard to be engaged in a relationship or a conversation when our minds are already thinking about what we have to do next. When we find ourselves constantly trying to do too much, does it end up the way we hope. And cramming is something that we find ourselves doing often throughout life at every stage. I've talked to so many who are recently retired who tell me I'm busier now than I ever was when I was working because I'm trying to get everything I've been writing a list down for the last 30 years. Trying to get all those trips and visits and everything else and volunteer opportunities, cramming everywhere in life. But eventually, it catches up with us. And today, as we gather in the beauty of this day in worship, as we made our way in to celebrate Palm Sunday, shouting hosannas and being reminded of God's triumphant presence into Jerusalem, we ourselves are guilty of a little cramming. Somewhere along the way, Palm Sunday introduced the element of hearing the wholeness of this whole Holy Week into the life of story. And so even on our hymn boards, we try to cram it all in. Sunday of the Passion, Palm Sunday. We got it fit in. But you see what we do here in the life of worship and in this space, we're trying to include so much in the service, moving from Palm Sunday into hearing the fullness of this whole week's story. This last week of Jesus' life before his death and resurrection, in which we try to fit it all in. The gospel text was originally twice as long as I read this morning. But I prayerfully thought about it and said, what I was about to read, where I would have gone on from here, are the same texts that we'll hear Thursday and Friday evenings. And so let that be that. Because friends, in our lives, we try to cram too much in. And when we try to cram, we miss where God is at work in the midst of all of that. We can't cram Jesus into our lives. Let me say that again. We can't cram Jesus into our lives Because if we try to fit Jesus into those places between everything else going on in our world, try to fit our time for prayer into those rare moments that we have, try to fit our time in for spiritual study and our own self-learning, continuing that covenant of faith formation we made in our baptisms, if we try to do all that as an afterthought and just cram it into our lives, it never quite fits. Something falls out. Our faith lives aren't at their fullness. And so we turn to some words that the Apostle Paul wrote to the people of Philippi in this Philippians text, which we hear every year on Palm Sunday. Not just in one cycle of the lectionary, but all three. A reminder that Jesus, even though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited. But Jesus did the exact opposite of cramming it all in. He emptied himself. He emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And so as our Holy Week begins, and we find in liturgy and in life that we too often try to cram it all in, we're reminded of those beautiful words that Paul spoke to the Philippians. That invitation to join Christ as Christ did when he came into the world, fully godly but made human, emptying himself of all of that godly glory so that we might see the fullness of God's presence in our lives. And when we try to cram it all in, we recognize that it is the opposite that gives us that space and that opportunity to know the fullness of Christ's story in our lives. And so what does it mean to empty ourselves? What does it mean to pause and think about all those different directions we are pulled, all the ways we try to cram our agendas and our pocketbooks and our life organization into a nice orderly way when we realize it doesn't all fit? But when we begin with our faith, when we begin by responding to God's grace here on the first day of the week and understanding that call of the commandments that has been with us throughout the ages to remember the Sabbath day, to begin in this place, to acknowledge that God is indeed the creator of all and working from there. And when we find ourselves with an empty space and an empty palate in our lives with Christ first as our present, we no longer have to cram Christ in, but are free to allow the fullness of that story to shape every other element of our lives. And so in this week, this holiest of weeks, as we empty ourselves so that we might hear the fullness of the story of all that happened throughout this week leading up to Thursday when Jesus gathers with his disciples in the upper room. Throughout Friday, when he is tried and beaten and mocked and scorned and made to walk to Golgotha. And at that place, on that mountaintop, as he suffers and dies for us. And in that waiting of the vigil day, let us empty ourselves. Create space in our busy lives to know God's presence. And instead of trying to cram it all in, to recognize where God fits first. It is easy to get caught up in cramming it in. It is who we are as people in this time and place in the world. And we are enabled by so many factors within and outside our lives. But today I pray we leave a little emptier, with an open space in our lives to receive the gift of the promise of Jesus Christ made known to us at the table, so that the real presence of God made known in body and in blood, in bread and in wine, may strengthen and send us forth in this Holy Week to have space for Christ in our lives in each of these days and into the Triduum, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, as we wait with hope for what is to come, an empty tomb. Let us go and empty ourselves. Thanks be to God. Amen.